Morning, church. Man, we can just go home. I think Paul got into my notebook. He started out with Psalm 27. Well, first, let me just say,
did you guys think you're having
a guest speaker today? Because it's a message title and passages. God's working on me with that, with this message today, because I shared the last time I spoke, one of my biggest worries, fears, whatever, is actually going into customers and actually talking faith with them. You know, Monday came and my first day back from vacation, and knowing that I had 5 days to work and I'm on vacation again, so it's probably the best Monday I've ever had, because I knew I only had to see these people once in like a month, so it's kind of cool. But you know, God worked on it this week, and he opened up doors. And actually Monday I was out, oh, I don't know, 12 and a half hours, and I had two faith conversations with the customers, two different customers. And it, you know, it was weird because it, they said, we've been wanting to say something to you for quite a while because we know when you come in, you're different than a lot of our vendors. And we are Christians, and we, and it just opened up, and it was really cool. So that was a God thing. It's not a Matt thing, trust me, because I'd still be in my car worrying about whether I'm going to have that conversation. But I had like five conversations this week with different customers about faith, and it was kind of cool because they all started the same way. We've been thinking about it for a while, and we just didn't know how to approach you. And I was like, same. But God opens up those doors, and I'm going to lead us off in prayer. And then we're going to get through this. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you today, and I thank you that you are the God that we know we can put all our fear on. We can put all of our troubles on. We can put all of our shortcomings on. And you've already handled it. You've already opened up those doors. You've already just laid our path straight so that we can just plow ahead. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray, amen. So I'm going to share something off of, since Paul shared Billy Graham, I got one I'm going to share, and I don't know if it really relates to my title, but it kind of does, and it's something that I just think we need to hear. And you know, I'm a softball coach. You know, I love baseball, softball, and this came up, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to share it. So 17 inches, it's called. You will not regret reading this, from an excellent article to read from the beginning to the end. 20 years ago in Nashville, Tennessee, during the first week of January 1996, more than 4,000 baseball coaches descended on the Opryland Hotel for the 52nd annual American Baseball Coaches Association convention. Now, I have not been to these conventions, but to me, that's about as close to heaven as I could get on earth. So I got 4,000 guys there doing nothing but thinking about baseball. That'd be really cool. Okay? While I waited in line to register with the hotel staff, I heard other more veteran coaches rumbling about the lineup of speakers scheduled to present during the weekend. One name kept resurfacing, always with the same sentiment. John Scalinos is here. Oh man, worth every penny of my airfare. Who is John Scalinos, I wondered. No matter, I was just happy to be there. In 1996, Coach Scalinos was 78 years old and 5 years retired from a college coaching career that began in 1948. So I did some simple math. 1948 to 1998 would be 50 years, minus 2, 48, and then minus the 5 years. This dude coached college baseball for 43 years. Okay? Listen, I've coached high school softball for about 5-6 years, and I'm starting to think about what life's going to be after softball. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to make it. It's not going to be 43 years. Okay? So when he came, he shuffled to the stage with an impressive standing ovation, wearing a dark polyester pants, a light blue shirt, and a string around his neck from which home plate hung. A full-size, stark white home plate. Seriously, I wondered, who is this guy? After speaking for 25 minutes, not once mentioning the prop hanging around his neck, Coach Scalinos appeared to notice the snickering among some of the coaches. Even those who know Coach Scalinos had to wonder exactly where he was going with this, or if he had simply forgotten about home plate since he had gotten in age. Then finally, he says, "You're probably all wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck." I laughed along with the others, acknowledging the possibility. I may be old, but I'm not crazy. The reason I stand before you today is to share with you baseball people what I've learned in my life and what I've learned about home plate in my 78 years. Several hands went up when Scalinos asked how many Little League coaches were in the room. Do you know how wide home plate is in Little League? Anybody know how wide home plate is? 17 inches. So all the hands said 17 inches, more of a question than an answer. He says, "That's right. How about them Babe Ruth's day? Any Babe Ruth coaches in the house?" Another long pause. 17 inches, I guess, from another reluctant coach. "That's right. Now how many high school coaches do we have?" Hundreds of hands shot up as the pattern began to appear. How wide is home plate in high school baseball? 17 inches, they said, sounding more confident. "You're right," Scalinos barked. "And you college coaches, how wide is home plate in college?" 17 inches, we said in unison. "Any minor league coaches here, how wide is home plate in pro ball?" 17 inches. "Right. And in the major league, how wide?" 17 inches. "And what do they do with the big league pitcher who can't throw the ball over 17 inches?" "They send him to Pocatello," he hollered, drawing raucous laughter. "What they don't do is this. They don't say, 'Oh, that's okay, Jimmy. If you can't hit a 17-inch target, we'll make it 18 inches or 19 inches. We'll make it 20 inches so you have a better chance of hitting it. If you can't hit that, let us know so we can make it wider still, say 25 inches. Coaches, what do we do when your best player shows up late to practice? Or when our team rules forbid facial hair and a guy shows up unshaven? What if he gets caught drinking? Do we hold him accountable? Or do we change the rules to fit him? Do we widen home plate?" The chuckles gradually faded as our 4,000 coaches grew quiet, the fog lifting as the old coach's message began to unfold. He turned the plate toward himself and, using his Sharpie, began to draw something. When he turned it towards the crowd, pointing up, a house was revealed, complete with freshly drawn door and two windows. "This is the problem in our homes today, with our marriages, with the way we parent our kids, with our discipline. We don't teach accountability to our kids. There is no consequences for failing to meet standards. We just widen the plate." Then, to the point at the top of the house, he added a small American flag. This is a problem in schools today. The quality of education is going downhill fast, and teachers have been stripped of all the tools they need to be successful and to educate and discipline our young people. We are allowing others to widen home plate. Where is that getting us? Silence. He replaced the flag with the cross. And this is the problem with the church, where powerful people in positions of authority have taken advantage of young children, only to have such an atrocity swept under the rug for years. Our church leaders are widening home plate for themselves, and we allow it. And the same is true with our government. Our so-called representatives make rules for us that don't apply to themselves. They take bribes from lobbyists in foreign countries. They no longer serve us, and we allow them to widen home plate. We see our country falling in a dark abyss while we just watched. I was amazed. At a baseball convention where I expected to learn something about curveballs and bunting and how to run better practices, I had learned something far more valuable from an old man with a home plate strung around his neck. I had learned something about life, about myself, about my own weaknesses, and about my responsibilities as a leader. I had to hold myself and others accountable to that which I knew to be right, lest our families, our faith, and our society continue down an undesirable path. And why do I tell you all that? Number one, I thought it was a cool story. But number two, guys, that was 27 years ago. He's since passed. But he had the foresight to see what was coming and see where we were at 27 years ago. And we're a lot worse shape right now. We've got to take control back. There's only one way we do that. That's right here. And that's right here. And we have to hold ourselves accountable, and we have to be accountable to others for the love that we say our God shows. All right. I don't know how that's going to tie in, but we're going to move on. Face your fear with confidence. In the passage I'm going to use, Paul's already read the most important verses, Psalm 27. We're going to start there, but I'm going to give you a little background on David. David was the guy, we all have heard the story. You know, he's the guy that threw the rocks at Goliath and killed him, and he was a hero, and he was a war hero, and he became a king at a very young age. And then he committed adultery with one of his general's wives, and then sent that general back out, had him killed so that he could have Bathsheba as his wife. This dude did a lot of things that he should have ran in fear. Right? He should have ran in fear. But you know, David kept going. He didn't dwell on the fact that he did stupid stuff. Why? Because he knew he had faith in God. Guys, whatever fears you have, whatever problems you have, I don't know that any of us has done some of the stuff David's ever done. And we did a Bible school years ago, and it was called David, Man After God's Own Heart. I just told you some of the things David did. How's that possible? Talked about grace, talked about mercy, right? That's how it's possible. But now we're going to deal with our fear. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This is written by David. This is in the middle of battles, in the middle of whatever, because when he was leading, man, he went up against Amalekites and whoever, all these Achite names. And he was outnumbered sometimes 10 to 1. But you know what? He kept pounding that army forward. leading them. He wasn't scared. Why? Let's get into it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This is David saying, man, you know those Amalekites up there? I ain't afraid of them. I got the Lord. Why should I be afraid of them? Okay? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, or even then, I will be confident. And I know I've talked about Peter before, about his bravado, and about how he was just so confident in himself that he was always that guy, yeah, Lord, me, right? David, man, he exudes it. He exudes it. When he was going into battle, he knew he was going to win because of his God. One thing I ask for, Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life. Guys, that is our end goal as Christians. You know, we can build ourselves the nicest lifestyle we want here. Our end goal is that we want to live in the house of the Lord forever. And we, if we have the faith in our Lord and Savior, we should have the confidence to walk out there like David and say, look, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. And Billy Graham did it. I know that's where I'm going, even though I'm a bozo. Even though I do dumb things every day, I have the confidence knowing I'm going to live in the house of the Lord forever. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. Understand, when we live eternally, we are not living in a house that we built. We are living in His house. And it's perfect. Perfect. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me up high on a rock. You know, the pronouns they use here is He and His. Man, that's powerful right there. It's not me or mine. Because me or mine fade away, right? Everything I've built here on this earth fades away. My cars get old and get way too many hundreds of thousands of miles on them before I get rid of them. My body gets old and decrepit. I feel it now. When I work too hard a day, I have to call the next day and say, look, I got to take it easy today. I am old, right? Well, Tim's shaking his head. He feels it. I know Les and Jesse feel that. We're not 20 anymore. Those of you that are 20, enjoy it. Enjoy it. You better outwork the 60-something or the 50-something guy you're working with. Because it's going to take him 3 or 4 days to recover. You'll be bouncing back the next day. But you older guys, don't live in fear, man. Go at it. Go at it. It's pretty cool how God restores us. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Man, I can't wait to that day when I can sing and God thinks it's beautiful music. Or you all think it's beautiful music, because, man, if you hear me sing now, you're like, oh, shush. Right? I like to sing. I'm just not very good. And that's okay. God loves to hear it. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Guys, at the end of the day, at the end of this passage, that's what I want you to take. We have nothing to fear if His face is who we're seeking. You know, all these other faces in our lives, if we're seeking those faces, or that stardom, or that money, or that house, or that car, those are all going to fade away. If we are seeking His face, we have no reason to fear anything. I mean, I don't know. There's a few of us here that have been to battle. I've never been in a war. I've never been on an army base that I have to know I'm defending, or Air Force base that I know I'm defending, or whatever. I have a daughter who was there. I had fear for her. And she wasn't defending anything. She was laying concrete. But she was in a territory that could have got ugly. And I prayed every single day that God just took that fear out of my mind, because I knew she was in His hands. But here's David going into battle. And I hope you have the confidence David has. After last week, my confidence level in sharing my faith has grown, because God put me in positions to let it grow. Let's slide over to Joshua. Keep your hand in Psalms, though. Slide over to Joshua. We're going to talk about this dude for a minute. This time frame right now, Moses had just passed away. Okay, we all know Moses is the guy that led the Israelites out of Egypt, led them through the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea, led them through dry ground. We all know the story, right? Moses was a powerful dude. What was his power? What was his power? He talked to God. He talked to God. So you never want to be kind of like when you take over as a teacher or a coach or whatever. I mean, those positions become open because somebody retires or whatever, right? You hope you don't have to follow the greatest coach or the greatest teacher that place has ever seen. This is where Joshua is right here. Okay? And we're going to be in Joshua 1. And in verses 1 through 7, it's God talking to Joshua. It's saying, hey, I'm going to install you as a leader. Here you go. I want to skip down to verse 8. Actually, I want to skip to 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I don't know what Joshua's age was at that point. He could have been 25. He could have been 70. I don't know. I didn't research it that far. That wasn't what was important to me here. what was important to me is he's replacing a legend. And the last verse, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you forever, wherever you go. That's what I want you to take. That's how we defeat fear. That's how we push it aside, is by remembering, because of our faith in a God. He's with us wherever we go, in any situation, wherever we are. And He's going to get us through it. Okay? Let's go back to Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms today. Psalm 23. We know this as what? We've heard this at funerals. We've heard this. The time I can really remember hearing this, Chris had surgery, and it's been, 20 years ago, 19, 21 years ago. And Ben came down and prayed for the surgery, and we read the 23rd Psalm. And he prayed over the 23rd Psalm because we were scared. We were scared. We had no idea what was going on. But we're going to go down to verse 4. If you've never read this before, I encourage you to mark it, write it down, read this one. This one can get you through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And I'm not doing it justice today by skipping to verse 4, but I want to focus on verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay? That's spoken as a shepherd. That's spoken as a shepherd. Because back then, that was the only protection they had. They didn't have semi-automatic rifles or handguns or whatever. They had a rod and a staff that they would beat off bears and beat off coyotes and beat off intruders with. That is where we get our comfort, is from our Lord's rod and staff. It's enough. Even though you're in the darkest time of your life, fear no evil, for He is with you. That's pretty cool. Psalm 27, verse 1, we already did that. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 4 through 5, we're going to read 1 through 5. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 4, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You understand? God doesn't need an army to protect you. His faithfulness will be my shield and my rampart. What's that mean? That means God is not going to turn His back on you. He is going to be faithful to you always. And whenever you need Him, He is there to protect you. And I'm not real familiar with birds because, they scare me. I'll be honest. Chickens, forget it. Turkeys, forget it. I like to eat them. Okay? But I do not like them. But a mother hen, and this probably is more for wild birds, but an eagle's nest. Let's take an eagle's nest. great big thing, right? They lay the eggs crack or hatch. And how does that eagle protect them? She envelopes them with her wings. Okay? That's what God does for us. You know, sometimes as parents, we want to wrap our arms around our kids. And that's a pretty cool sentiment because that's God wrapping his wings around me. I'm wrapping my arms around my girls. And man, nobody's going to get to them. I don't care. I got two guys that got to them, but they're going to be their worries now. Okay? They're going to be their worries. But that's pretty cool. Verse 5. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that falls in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Guys, we are precious to God. We are precious to God. Each single one of us here. Each single one of us out there. If we all believe, and we all show faith, and we all get into this word, and we all dig in, and we put it on our hearts, he's not going to leave us. He's never going to leave us. Even when he died on the cross, did he leave us? No! He came back! He beat death! He rose from the dead! So that we know he's not going anywhere. And we know that once we pass, we're going to spend eternity with him. Psalm 57. Or, sorry, 56. And again, these are all just passages I'm giving you that if you'll go to these when you're facing some fears or facing some issues and read these, it'll get you through. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Sorry, Julie. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? If in God I put my trust. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. You ever think about what it's going to be the end of days? Can you imagine a mountain falling into the sea? I can't. It doesn't sound feasible to me, right? Guys, it's going to happen. This earth, as we know, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. You know where we're going to be watching that from? God's right hand. God's right hand. We have no fear. We should have no fear. Psalm 34, we'll finish with it. And it's highlighted in my Bible, so somebody else has preached on it, and it's pretty important. And I'm just going to read 1 through 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Guys, as we finish today, what do I want you to take? His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. So what does that tell you? That tells you, man, you can't just be churchy at church. There are people hurting out there that got to hear it. They have to see the glory of our Lord and Jesus through us, or they may not see it anywhere else. And we should do that with confidence, because let's read on. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Guys, that's what happened to me this week. Once I jumped out of my fear and said, okay, we're going to talk about this, I gained 5 Christian friends that I didn't know I had. And that was pretty cool. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all, underline all, and mine. Because those are words, all is so powerful. It's not just half of my fears or part of it. It's all of my fears. If we seek the Lord, he will take care of all our fears. And I want you to underline my, because why? Because that's where I come in. You know, God didn't make me to have those fears. He made me to be bold. He made me to be confident. He made me, you know what's happened? Society has worn me down. And Matt, you don't look right. Matt, you're an ugly mug. Matt, you're dumb. Those are all fears, right? Those are my fears. But when I turn them over to God, guess what? I don't care. Because I know the greatest guy that ever walked the earth loves me for who I am. I don't have to be anybody different. I don't have to try to be anybody different. He loves me for my brokenness, for my stupidity, I'll be honest, I'm dumb. I do dumb things, people. Understand that. Anybody else do anything dumb this week? Just me. Twice. Okay? Listen, God loves you anyway. There's times when I do dumb things and I question whether my wife loves me. I know she does. I mean, what's not to love about me, right? I'm an easy guy to love. But I know that I don't have to worry that my God loves me. Okay? Here's what I want to see. Those who look to him are radiant. That means we glow. As Christians, we have a different look about us. And that was pretty cool. That was reinforced this week. You know, I'm not normally a guy that has messages planned, but Les said something last week, and then Monday, as I'm driving around, I listened to the message, and somebody called in and was talking about a situation in their lives where they were so fearful. And I thought, you know, God, you've never put me in a situation like that where I had to be afraid for my life. I'm afraid of having a conversation. And it made me dig. And it made me dig into, okay, why fear? Well, it's because I wasn't getting deep enough. I wasn't getting into that enough. Because there's days when it sits on the shelf. I challenge you, get into this every day. If it's 2 minutes, 2 minutes. If it's 10 minutes, 10. If it's 3 hours, perfect. That doesn't mean you're any closer to God. It means you're enjoying His Word. It's here for you. You know, God didn't write this for Himself or Moses or any of those people. God knows every word that's in here. Every word that's in here. Just like He knows every lack of hair on my head. Okay? He is not, nothing is too big for Him. Turn your fears over to Him, and you will find yourself looking radiant to people. And that's pretty cool. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we just, man, we love You for how awesome You are. The fact that You love us enough, that You want a relationship with us enough, that You surround us with Your wings and You protect us, and we have the knowledge knowing that nothing can get to us if we have a little bit of faith and a little bit of discipline. Lord, we just love You. We thank You. We lift up Your name, and we lift up and we give You all the praise, all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. So Les and Jesse and I will be here. The praise band, the praise team is going to be here. We're all singing a song of invitation. If you want to know more of what we're talking about, more of letting go of that fear, more of being radiant to people, man, we'd love to talk to you. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to do that certainly as well. But if you've never made that decision,